All right. Good morning again. If you're walking a little bit late, my name is Darren. I'm the church planting resident here at Pillar Jacks. I've been doing this for, we got here in June, so 7 months now, and you guys have welcomed myself in, welcomed my family in, and it has been a fantastic just to be a part of this community and be able to share life with you guys all. What a fantastic song there to end on there. Come thou fount of every blessing. Thinking out just about blessings and what that means. Like, tune my heart, teach me, Jesus sought me when a stranger, like how beautiful that truly is and just how welcoming that is as well. All right, take my life and seal it. That's good. You guys should just sing that song instead of me preaching. I think that'd be better. I think that is our lives. Like, sought me when a stranger, teach me, like, prone to wander. Like, how quickly we forget of, like, who we are in Christ. We forget about our security of what he has done in our lives. Like, we pray it, we say it, we sing it, like, on Sundays. But then throughout the week, we kind of, life happens, things get busy, and we just forget. So coming together as a family, we can remind ourselves of who we are in Christ. So we are going to be continuing our sermon series through the book of Ephesians. So if you guys want to open up your Bibles there, your phones or whatever it may have. If you first time here or if you don't have a Bible, there should be, I know there's some Bibles like underneath some of the seats in front of you there. If you want to get that, that is our gift to you as well. And as you guys are finding Ephesians, it's in the New Testament there. We titled this sermon series, Receive Christ Jesus and Walk in Unity Together. Receive Christ Jesus. As we need to receive who our King is. It's not us, it's Christ. It's Christ Jesus. And as we walk, you think of this pursuit of like a sanctification, this journey of this life that we're on. We walk together. We do this together. We need each other to do this in unity together. So as you're going through this book, just continually to remind yourselves of that overall big picture statement of Ephesians, right? We see this big thing. So we're going to jump right into the passage this morning. I'll read, we'll pray, and then we will get down to work. I'm sorry, so Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14 is where we'll be looking at this morning. Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. And it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory." Let's pray for this service this morning. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you take our hearts and tune it. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you teach us your words this morning. Lord, we pray, Lord, that we're not strangers, Lord, but we are sealed with your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us just to see the beauty of your word, see the beauty of your blessings, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would just work in our hearts this morning and just see who you are and what that means for us. Lord, we want to glorify you, Lord, today. Every day. Help us just see that beauty, and then we can live in light of that. In your holy, precious name, Jesus. Amen. So last week, JD kind of walked through verses 1 through 2 there and kind of gave us like a good introduction for how Ephesians got there, the church of Ephesus there. So if you just kind of quickly remember, right, so it's in the Mediterranean Sea. It's where Paul is, or if you guys remember, Paul used to persecute Christians. I mean, he just like chased them down, put them in jail, killed some of them. But so, and then transformed as an apostle, transformed into who he truly is as a church planner, as a discipler, as somebody who follows Christ. Just that drastic transformation that Paul had. Just how beautiful that truly is. Just that huge impact that he had then in that time. But then now, obviously, he has the impact here all over the world as well. So before I kind of get into this passage and kind of break it down a little bit, let me ask you a question. Are we more focused on the material blessings or the spiritual blessings in our lives? What do we spend our time thinking about? Do we think about the health and wealth, right? The next assignment, the retirement? Because let's be honest with ourselves. A lot of times we focus more on the material things than the spiritual things. The other day, I have to get an oil change every once in a while in your car. Over there, like, talking to the attendant. Like, he could not stop talking about money. That's like what he talked about the whole entire time. He just couldn't get enough of it, wanted more of it, just all about it. But a lot of times, like, I'm the same way, thinking about, like, the VA, right? VA, going through the VA process recently. Like, it's a process. It takes time. But sometimes it just, like, consumed me, right? Continually to check to see if it's updated, kind of going through all of those motions. Now, I'm not saying, like, putting food on the table is not important, parenting is not important, or just living life or working hard in your job is not important, right? Those are definitely necessary things. But where is our heart posture behind that? What is our focus? Now, let's get into this passage. So in the original Greek, these 12 verses was all one sentence. Like, if you look there, I think it's broken down into like three or four different sentences, or like it has periods now. Obviously, there's a lot of commas in there now. But if it was all one long sentence, it's one continual thought. One continual thought throughout this whole beautiful passage of God's blessings without stopping for a breath. Spiritual blessings. Right? And we see how God chose us, predestined, redeemed, given us an inheritance, glorious grace, the unity that we have because of Him, how we are supposed to respond to that in praise, all in this one big thought of spiritual blessings. So my main idea here for today is believers are secured in Christ from where all blessings flow. It's all from Him. He is our security. It's all because of Christ, and that is where all of our spiritual blessings are from. Now, stepping back to verse 1 there, it says we need to look at that, because who is it specifically written to, if you guys remember that? It says to the saints who are in Ephesus. To the saints. And JD kind of mentioned just briefly last week that the saints, they're just not these spirits that are out there of good people, but believers. They are Christians. They are followers of Jesus, right? Both the Jew, but also the Gentile, of how they're supposed to come together in unity, right? So if you think about just unity in general and how quickly we divide different things, we try to separate different things, but Paul is bringing them all together of who they are spiritually in Christ with this passage. This passage is so rich and doctrine, and really just points to who Christ is and what He has done. So we need to continually remember that this is for believers to become united together. So, now let's look at verse 3. I'm going to read it again. So, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So note that this letter begins with a note of praise. He doesn't start them by, you're united because you're all broken sinners. He started by telling them their sin is or need for redemption, but with a declaration of blessings. Right? They're just more than just earthly blessings then as well, or the material things, but spiritual. Spiritual. Rooted in the heavenly realm. And they're blessings that are found in Christ alone. Right? This scope of these gifts is only through Christ. It's all through Christ. Everything points through him, for him, to him. All of these spiritual blessings. Because of what he has done. We talk about like security and just the comfort that we can have knowing that we are secured in him. Knowing that it's nothing that we have done. It's all because of what he has done. And it's freely given. So Paul outlines this in five spiritual blessings. That's how I kind of seen it. Some of them I kind of grouped together. Others you could probably separate a little bit more out. But this is how I saw it. All right, so the first one is chosen, predestined, and then adopted. I kind of grouped those three together. The next one is glorious grace, the grace that he gives us. The third is redemption, how powerful the redemption is and the payment that was received. And then the fourth, making known the mystery. Then the fifth one, inheritance. Inheritance. So chosen, predestined, adopted, his grace, redemption, making known the mystery, then inheritance. So first we have God's gift of being chosen, predestined. Predestined for adoption to his sonship. His sonship, or I'll also say daughters as well, bringing us together. Do we think about that? Why did he choose me? Why did he adopt me into his family? Why am I his son? Why am I his daughter? I'm nothing special. I'm a jack of all trades and master of none. How about you? What makes you so special that he would choose you? But he chose believers to receive this great honor and privilege of being his through that sacrifice of Christ. So That's what happens when you use technology sometimes. This is before the foundations of the world. Before everything, God had this perfect plan. And it included them. If you guys look, I'll just read it really quickly. Verse 4 says, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Before everything. Like, sit in that for a second. Chose you before the foundation of the world. Before anything happened. Included them. Security. Right? Isn't that comforting? Isn't that comforting knowing that whatever trials, things that you're going through your life, he chose you. It gives us some beautiful security. Right? And also, like, you're not an afterthought. It's not like, well, now I'll decide, God choosing to decide, but overall, like, he chose you before the foundation of the world. And in its eternal purpose. And the great thing is, God always sees his plan to completion. Right? He's not reactionary, meaning like, people sinned, therefore I'll send a sinner. No, but he had a plan all along. Chose us. But it's also not just not choosing, but also transforming. His goal is that we would reflect his holiness in our lives. This is not just a call to perfectionism at all, but a call to be set apart for his glory. Knowing that we are chosen by God can give us just an incredible sense of worth as well. A lot of times we're confused of who we are, but if we sit and like, if we are his daughter, his son, that we are chosen, it gives us a sense of worth. It's not random. We are deeply loved and purposely set apart. All right, so we don't need to prove ourselves. The work has been done. I think that's the thing that we always tend to forget. We always try to feel like we need to do more, prove ourselves to earn our keep. Especially as military members, right? You have to strive. You have to earn your keep. You have to pull your weight. Right? Obviously, yes, do a good job. I'm not negating that. But remember who we are in Christ and how comforting that is. A lot of times I think we do get that wrong. On the outside, we try to like do the right thing and going through the motions of life. But a lot of times, like, we're just cold, hard. The fruit that we're producing on the outside is just like stapled on. It's just temporary. There's this book called Gospel Fluency by Jeff Vanderslip, and it describes fruit stapling. So we're just putting on these fruit just to put them on. Like, yep, I'm showing love today. But the root behind that, there's no root, so you just have to staple it on. Right? So we have to take this fruit that we have stapled on in our lives and transform it into what truly, we remind ourselves of who we are in Christ, and that transforms it to the love and the beauty and the look and the joy that we have in Christ. The fruit to root. Because our roots, right, they're small. They need to be rooted in who we are as His chosen ones. Now, predestined. Right? Of course, this gets a lot of debate. Because you have like the predestination versus free will, right? And how this all kind of plays out. But I'm a pretty simple man. I'm just reading what it says. Right? Like, knowing that God's plan, this is what I know. Knowing that God predestined, knowing that God predestined for all eternity, His purpose, His will. Do I know exactly how it all fits together? No. It's something that I'll continue to study. Absolutely. I'd encourage you guys to do the same. But let's continue to see what this passage says. You are predestined. You are chosen. We can be rooted in that. We can sit in that and meditate on that. I think that's just a time for another conversation and stuff like that as well. But like, we don't need to be surprised that His perfect plan, we can see it all through history, right? Through generation of how He promised something and then He fulfilled it. Promised something and then fulfilled it. All throughout history. He always had a plan because we can trust what He says in His word. That God... Yeah. Right, and then He called. Like, and in Romans, it talks about being called, to be in pursuit, to be in predestined, to be in, glorified, and then justified. Right? It's His perfect plan. And then we have adoption. All right, these three. The chosen, predestined, and then adopted. Because when adoption is complete, like, it is complete for good. It's done. There's, like, no legal binding or anything like that. If you are a part of that family, you are that family. There is a family that we know back in Oki, that they adopted three of their kids, right? I'm sure many of you guys know many of families that adopted, that is very impactful ministry, as well as I think a lot of times the church really gets behind that because that is what we're called to do, to love the orphans, to put them together as us as family. But this family adopted three Japanese kids, and it's like, we don't know them as who they were previously. They are theirs. They are theirs, and they love them just like they gave birth to them. Think of that, how Christ has done that for us. We are adopted. Right? They have the same legal rights. They have legitimate sons or daughters. The old family is no more. And the great thing is, as sons and daughters, we are kept. We are kept. Because God plays for keeps. He's not going to say, oh, now that you're broken and sinned, I'm going to push you away. No. That's not how it is at all. When Christ died on the cross, it's for past, present, and future sins, for all of them. You are kept. Now, what do we do with that? Knowing that we are His children, knowing that we are chosen, knowing that we are predestined, knowing that we are adopted, does that mean we just do whatever we feel like doing? Do we go back to like our old ways of brokenness and sin? And that's not saying that we're never going to sin again, but no, we take these words. We remember who we are in Christ, and we glorify Him through that knowledge of knowing that who we are. Because knowing that who we are, like who we are in Christ, knowing that He is King, we glorify Him instead of ourselves. Getting into the community group. Like, coming together as a community group to, like, go back and, like, rehearse these things together. Sharing those gospel truths together, just coming together. Sharing testimonies. getting together with a friend and just living life together. Like, we need one another to help ourselves accountability, but as well as just living life together. Because, guys, the spiritual blessing of being chosen, of being predestined, and being adopted gives us that security. The spiritual blessings that we have gives us security. Now we have the glorious grace that He poured out on us, who belong to Him as His dear sons and daughters. All right, God's grace is glorious, is it not? Think about just the grace that we receive through Him. Right, and it's not even like unmerited favor. It's like, well, I did this, therefore you give me grace. That's not it at all. His depth of love, the richness of His mercy, the greatness of His power. Because think about it, if it was because of our merit or things that we have done, like how far would that really take us? How far could you get? We'd be lost. We would, like, in our journey of life, like, we would truly be lost. But He showered us with kindness, along with all wisdom and understanding. Our Heavenly Father, in His rich mercy, His kindness, His forgiveness, His freedom, His rich wisdom and understanding. It's all because of Christ. Jesus is the only source from the grace that we need. And I think the more we think about this and sit in this for a little bit, just the grace, understand His greatness of God's grace, the more we realize just how glorious God truly is. Because it's despite our failures, our sin, it stirs our hearts. It really does. It stirs our hearts to praise Him more through this. Right? And it's just not like a little bit of grace, it's just kind of like, get us through, but it's abundant grace. It's overflowing grace that's more than we could ever imagine. And it transforms our lives. Because a lot of times it does feel like we need to earn God's grace, earn God's favor. This feeling that we're just not worthy. Like, a lot of times we beat ourselves up more than we really need to. God is comforting. If God has given us grace, free grace, we are worthy. Because it's freely given. When we realize that it's freely given, we should stop striving to earn God's favor and just glorify Him. Like, take the time to glorify Him and praise Him through that. Receive it with a thankful heart. So where's your guys' heart this morning? Are we thinking about God's grace and the spiritual blessing of grace that He's given us? This thankfulness that we should have. Now the third one, redemption. Third spiritual blessing, redemption, from this passage. I'm going to read verse 7 for us. And it says, here we go. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. So, what's the point of redemption? There has to be a price that needed to be paid. Right? There was one time, tech school, just recently got into tech school, and at that time, like, that's probably once you get there, you have to stay on base for a period of time before you can transition off base, as far as how we did it. But went out to a restaurant. We got to the restaurant, right? We all got meals and stuff like that, but then somebody paid for our meal. Now, we didn't know who it was, but nonetheless, despite how thankful for we were, we wanted to find out who it was, but it was something we did not expect. And there was probably 10 of us, so it was probably a pretty hefty bill. But as a new enlisted person, that was the first time going out, how encouraging that truly was, that yes, you are supported, that you are cared for. Not saying we had a massive debt to be paid, but that was still a bill that we owed that somebody else took. And just the encouragement, the love that they had for us. We didn't even know them. Because, guys, we do have this debt is that of sin that we have committed. Right? And in Romans, it talks about like slavery. We're slaves to sin. Like, think about that, like slaves to sin and just what slavery is and just the hardships and ugliness that it is requires payment. The redemption, the act of making a full payment to free us from slavery, free that bondage of guilt, that shame that we hold on to, we are free from it. And it's just not partial, it's complete removal. It's not something that needs to be done continually. It is done. It is finished. When Christ was dead on that cross, it is finished, he said. Wiping that slate clean. You know, I don't know where everybody stands. Some may be thinking that your slate is just too dirty to be cleaned. There's too much filth. There's too much, like, thinking just as growing up as a young boy, like, we always got grass stains on our pants, right? We're running around, get grass stains. It's like, mom tries to get out, you try to get out, try to hide it. But nonetheless, it's like grass stain upon grass stain upon grass stain, right? And the stain is just embedded in the fabric of the pants, right? Like, just embedded. That's like how sin kind of feels for us. Like, it's just embedded in our souls where you just can't do anything to get out of it. We scrub and we scrub and we try and retry. The redemption, the payment, can only be through Christ's blood. His death in our place. It's just not by his power, his love. It's the redemption by his blood. By his blood. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I have been crucified with Christ. Paul, when Paul wrote this in Galatians, he wasn't there at the cross with him. But his sins were. His sins were. We weren't there at the cross with him, but our sins were there. Christ paid it all. I have been crucified with Christ. It's all through him. That's everything. In Isaiah 1:18, it says, though our sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as well. Our stains are no more. That slate is clean. When we believe Jesus and receive him as Lord and Savior, our sins are forgiven. Christ's death satisfies God's demands, releasing us from that sin, that shame, those burdens that we feel continually put on ourselves. Is gone. And then Romans 8:1 through 2. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus our Lord. No condemnation. Man, isn't that comforting? Like, oh, that's just, it just provides a sense of security that we need. This the seal that we have through him. We are holy and blameless in his sight, right? So he doesn't see our brokenness. He sees Christ. Christ. And then here, the fourth spiritual blessing, mystery of his will. Now, I like a good mystery or mystery movie, mystery book, or just any type of thing like that. You try to figure out, like, what's going to happen next. You try to see. Like, you think about, and then, like, history terms. There's a lot of people that always try to figure things out, like what's going to happen next, right? Even throughout Scripture, it's always like, since the fall, the generation from generation, this genealogy is like, who is the Savior going to be, right? And throughout history, throughout the Old Testament, because much of God's plan was concealed, which is glimpses of prophecies about the Messiah, who he's going to be. People were expecting Jesus to be this massive, well, I don't know, massive, but this military leader that's going to help them get through the oppression that they were feeling from the Romans. But generation upon generation, they're waiting and waiting. But the mystery of God's plan in bringing his kingdom is Christ to fulfillment. The kingdom had long been prophesied. Like, if we can read through Isaiah, we can through many of the different prophets, we can see who that serpent crusher is going to be. And it's Christ. Christ is that mystery. As much as we try to figure out future things, let's rest in who Christ is. And the mystery that he provided for us, providing that Savior of what he has done for us. Christ, the key to having the full riches of complete understanding, or the mystery, is to be born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? You think about Nicodemus in John chapter 3. It's like, you have to be born again. How can somebody be born again? Like, Nicodemus couldn't wrap that around his head. But Jesus describing to him, it's not physical birth, but spiritual birth. Spiritual birth through what he has done. Right? Because we would never be able to comprehend eternal life without the coming of Jesus. We'd just be wrapping our heads. But this mystery that is revealed in us is only through Christ. The divine wisdom. And the thing is, the mystery that was revealed, it was all done in perfect timing. Right? Predestined ahead of time. He knew he had this plan and he fulfilled it. You guys ever feel like you're searching for a purpose to your life? Do you sit in this wondering, what am I supposed to be doing? What's God's will for you? The mystery is here. The mystery is solved. God's will is that you would know him through Jesus Christ. Right? And in that knowledge that we do know him, that we continue to pursue him and glorify him in our lives. What that looks like in the day-to-day, yes, going to your work and glorifying him in that. Yes, parenting your kids through all those wonderful, hard moments that we get the opportunity to disciple and care for our children. Those moments that you have trouble with your spouse. It's all through God's will through that. Knowing who you are in Christ, that spiritual blessings that we have of his grace, the mystery being revealed that we are able to be sons and daughters of him, that fits the spiritual birth that we have. It's all through him. The mystery has been revealed. And it is secured through Christ from where all blessings flow. Now the last one here, the inheritance. Every spiritual blessing includes a truth here, obtained heavenly inheritance. Because a lot of times, in the worldly perspective, inheritance, what do you guys think of? Right? Passing down valuables, wealth, investments, land. Right, from generation to the next generation to the next generation, or kind of however that kind of looks like, right? Well, primarily thinking of just valuables. A lot of times it's something that people look forward to. Like, man, I can't wait to receive this thing that I didn't even do, but I get to get it, I get to keep it, right? That's something we didn't even earn. But here it's not a worldly at all. The spiritual blessing, it is eternal. And it's far more precious than anything we could ever imagine. Just try to think of just heaven, inheritance, and what that means. How beautiful that is. And how just trying to imagine it, and it's something that we can't barely even imagine. And it's a guaranteed. When God makes his promises, he always keeps it. I know typically people don't keep their promises. Just think of New Year's resolutions. Whether you do them or not, I'm not judging you for that. But nonetheless, a lot of times people just quit. Even, I think there's on the 10th, so Friday, it's called Quitter's Day. It's the second Friday of every year. It's Quitter's Day is what it's called. Because people can't last doing a New Year's resolution that long. Right, 10 days. You can't keep a promise 10 days or a commitment 10 days. That's why I don't do them. But earthly inheritance, the wealth, the possessions, all the stuff can quickly fade away. They lose their value. They don't last forever. But this spiritual blessing, inheritance, is eternal. Believers are sealed. Jesus plays for keeps. That seal is done. It's finished. It's yours forever, eternally. He is the guarantee. That's spiritual security, proof of ownership in eternity. Man, how, like, think of just like how that should change our lives then today. Like, so what do we hold on to? Like, what are we pursuing? Are we thinking about eternity? Or is it just the day-to-day type of thing? In Matthew 13, it talks about this lost treasure in a field. And this one person identified, saw the treasure, went back, got all of his things, and bought this field for this treasure. Because that's how much he wanted it. That's how much he wanted it, needed it, and pursued it. This treasure. Christ is our treasure. A lot of times we hold on to things that are the temporary things, just the little things in our lives, our possessions, our achievements, even our health. But the inheritance in Christ is eternal. It's unshakable. So family, where are you today? Where do you stand today? What do you think about today? Maybe when you walk through these doors, you're lost, thinking that you need to do more, prove yourself, earn your keep to earn salvation, that you don't know if you are secured in Christ. I urge you to believe the good news, believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and his redemptive power, that he died on the cross for your sins. Nothing that you have done to earn the grace, nothing that you have done to earn the inheritance, nothing that you have done. It has been done through Christ. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. You are adopted. You are forgiven. You are his daughter. You are saved. And then sitting in that identification, that union with Christ, as God's son, we are eligible to receive these spiritual blessings. Because it's all done through the Spirit. Is the executioner who applies the work of Christ in our lives. Right? And it's beautiful how Paul does this intentionally, just reveals the Trinity. How God the Father is the source through Christ and then by the Spirit. So then as we kind of wrap up here, we're thinking about just like application-wise. So as believers, as people who are in Christ, these spiritual blessings is about God's vision in the world. So some of the things that we can kind of sit in today. Let's meditate. Meditate or just kind of focus on, let's chew on a few of these passages, chew on a few of these texts, a few of these just these main ideas, the chosen, the predestined, adoption. Think about just the redemption that he has paid, his grace that he has given you, the inheritance, the mystery of his will, how it was revealed to you. Think about those things for a little bit this week. Take some time and just sit in that. All right, and then the outflow of that, I guarantee you, would be praise. All right, I'm not a singer by any means, but you still have praise in your heart through joy and how you interact then with people, I bet you would be completely different than if you wouldn't. So take the time to sit in that and praise. And then also, right, we talk about unity. In verse 10, it says, unite all things to him. Right, so we're called to work together for peace and justice. Now, there's so many things sometimes just in our church, you think big church settings where we fight and quarrel, and it causes church splits and drama and all these things. But stay united together. One of my favorite quotes is from Augustine, and it says, in essentials, unity, to non-essentials, liberty, to all things, charity. So no matter what we do things out of love. How quickly we want to get our point across and we get angry for everything we might do, but we do it. We need to change that attitude and do it out of love and be united on the gospel. Think of how beautiful that is when we are united on the gospel and we can go out together and share him. Then also the one last thing that I kind of thought about as far as like application, right? So we're going to be in Ephesians for the next 2-3 months. I don't know off the top of my head. Take some time to maybe memorize a passage. All right, a good way to start, right? Ephesians 2:7-8. That's always, that's a really good one. Or if you're if you like the soldier aspect and stuff like that, go to Ephesians 6 and try to memorize like the armor of God, what that means. Just take some time. Be a part, and also be a part of a community group, because we're going over these passages ahead of time. So take some time to unite together in the gospel, to come together and share him. Because family, having security is a good thing. You are secured in Christ with every spiritual blessing. It's all because of Christ. I love you, family. Let's pray. Father, Lord, how wonderful is your word. Lord, we can't thank you enough for your spiritual blessings and the security, Lord, that it provides in our lives. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would just continue to work in our hearts to see that security throughout the week, throughout the next day, throughout just today. And we can live in light of that. Lord, that you have chosen us, Lord. That you have adopted us in as sons and daughters. Lord, that you have given us grace upon grace. Lord, and then you have given us redemption through your blood. You paid the penalty, Lord, that we deserve. Lord, and the mystery was revealed through Christ and what he has done for us. And Lord, and through all of that, Lord, we have your inheritance. That is eternal. Lord, help us just focus on that mindset of just your spiritual blessings and what you have done for us. We love you, Lord Jesus. In your holy, precious name, amen.